Jill Wolf, age 35. Today is January 22nd, 2015. I'm at the Chicago Cultural Center, and I'm with my friend and fellow advocate.
My name is Naveen Vij. I am 31 years old. Today is January 22nd, 2015. I, too, am at the Cultural Center in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm sitting here with my friend and fellow champion of hepatitis C, Jill Wolf.
I'm so excited that you're here from Middle America, Ohio. But I'm curious, where do you come from?
it's a pretty heavy question. You have to go back to the summer of 1983, close to the last week in June. And I had hit approximately maybe 29, 30 weeks of development in my mom's belly. Turns out I didn't want to stay in anymore. Managed to drive up my mom's blood pressure, and I got my wishes. I was delivered early as a premature baby on June 22nd, 1983. So I subsequently spent the next several months in the neonatal ICU in Minneapolis. Chest x-rays, breathing tubes, blood transfusions, blood draws, all of that ensued. And, you know, as I got older, I had opportunity to talk to my mom a bit more about that whole experience. And what I learned was not only was I kind of sitting through that, but more importantly, she was too. And people used to turn to her and ask her this question, how could this happen, or what are you going to do? And true to my mom, who that she was, she used to kind of shrug and with a smile say, you know, everything happens for a reason in life. And the challenge in good and bad is to figure out why. When I think back on my life and I think back on that summer of 1983, I keep coming back to that phrase, everything happens for a reason in life, and the challenge in good and bad is to find out why. Fast forward about 27 years later, and after growing up in Minnesota, a stint in Chicago, and then going to college and medical school down in Houston, Texas, I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, where I began my residency in internal medicine and pediatrics at Case Western. During my intern year, I had just completed up a 30-hour shift, and I found myself sitting in employee health services at University Hospitals in Cleveland. I reluctantly had ended up there. Turns out the night before, while doing a procedure, I got needle stuck. One of the colleagues I was working with strongly encouraged me to go to employee health. This is the right thing to do. This is standard procedure. And so I went to employee health, got my blood drawn, and a few days later, I got a phone call that forever changed my life. You have hepatitis C, I was told. I remember standing in a hallway at the hospital, and I nearly dropped my phone. I felt like my world stopped. Immediately, the questions kind of abounded in my head. What does this mean? How could this be? Is this right? Do I have cirrhosis? Am I going to need a liver transplant? Am I going to die? Can I even work anymore? Can I be a physician? How do I tell my family, my friends, my girlfriend? You know, I think all of us who work in healthcare, a little information and a little bit of experience is sometimes a dangerous thing. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was scared. I was terrified. So fast forward to July 2010, probably about a week after my birthday, I gave myself my first injection of interferon and took my first ribavirin pills, which were, you know, standard therapy for hepatitis C treatment at the time. Over the next 6 months, I would come to learn pretty quickly about the side effects and consequences and complications of therapy that, unfortunately, a lot of my own patients had experienced. There were the days of feeling delirious, depressed, dehydrated, pretty confused. There were the days of feeling fatigued, tired, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to go to work, doing, you know, 30-hour calls every 4 days at times. But, you know, through that process, I kept working. You know, I was lucky to get needle stuck and find out my diagnosis.
Were you ever angry?
Who was there to be angry with? I think, you know, it's interesting being a physician and having been a patient. You know, I spent so much of my life learning about reason and logic and physiology and understanding, you know, point A leading to point B, leading to point C. And, you know, part of that approach has been that people, you know, adults and less commonly kids, either chose certain behaviors, right? You know, they smoked and drank for 50 years, or, you know, they did drugs back in the day, or they used IV drugs at some point, maybe they engage in risky sexual behavior. The thing I realized, though, is that when we ascribe the word blame, I think, to our patients, we're doing ourselves a disservice, and more importantly, we're doing them a disservice. Health and disease are the great equalizers in life. Disease is disease. Yeah. You know, hepatitis C is hepatitis C, right? I'm a face of hepatitis C as much as the stereotype of an IV drug user is. And the point is, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. A diagnosis like hepatitis C carries so much weight with it, whether that's the emotional, the physical, the financial, the spiritual, right? How you look at yourself, how you think about yourself in relation to maybe your own God, maybe your own mortality, maybe your wife, your girlfriend, the people around you.
Then treating patients while you were being treated as well?
Yeah.
How did that influence your process of coming out?
You know, it took me a while to be at a point in my life where I was comfortable fully talking about it. And it's only been recently. And it's actually been experiences post-treatment that have kind of allowed me to come out about my hepatitis C. You know, at the time, I didn't know what would happen. I think, you know, it's interesting. The fear of uncertainty is a really powerful fear. What's going to happen? Am I going to get cured? Am I not going to get cured? Am I going to get through treatment? Can I do this? I was lucky to find out my diagnosis. You know, close to 75% by some estimates of patients with hepatitis C in this country don't know. That's wrong. We have to do a better job. We have to help people get screened. We have to help people understand that this is beatable. This is curable. I think a couple things that we have to do. Number one, we have to talk about it. You know, as patients, as physicians, as friends and family, the world of Hep C today is completely different than it was 5 years ago. It's completely different than when it was 4 years ago. And I think we have to educate each other about that reality, that, you know, patients who do know of their diagnosis have been fearful of going through the treatment, right? Feel fearful of the side effects that I went through, and I don't blame them. But those fears are unfounded anymore. You know, there's new treatments on the market that have minimal side effects that can cure this disease. But we have to educate each other. We have to talk about it more.
Thanks for coming to Chicago.
Thanks for having me.